Carlisle. Good evening. My name is Ferdinand. I'll be sitting in for Mike Malloy. I hope I can do this. I was asked to come in and do this at the last minute because... What is this? Oh!
Hey, Two Seekers. Welcome to the program. Malloy here on the I don't know what network I'm working for, but I'm here. welcome to the program. We'll be here for the next 3 hours. Oh, and regardless of what you hear, I'm not going anywhere. Jesus God. Oh, I love this business, don't you? I will not make any comments whatsoever about Randy Rhodes and Nova M, except to say that Randy Rhodes no longer works for Nova M, and I honestly don't know how to get in touch with her. If you do, tell her Malloy said hi. Thank you. the Michael Phelps story. We were in Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday. Sunday and this morning. Drove home today. And went over to visit my son and daughter-in-law. And we were in the capital, Columbia. And I'll tell you something, Truth Seeker. You talk about a wasteland. South Carolina, if it weren't in Columbia, I'm not talking about Charleston. I'm not talking about the beaches. I'm not talking about the good part. I'm talking about Columbia, the state capital. Their unemployment rate right now is it's approaching 10%. And if it weren't for the University of South Carolina and the fact that it's the seat of state government, a Columbia would be, I don't know, it would look like Detroit. It's awful. Anything associated with the university is humming along doing just fine, and anything associated with state government. But every time Lindsey Graham opens his mouth, or that crazy decadent Strom Thurmond, I just think, boys, if you're so interested in the fiscal responsibility, why don't you do something to take care of your own state? You know what I'm saying?
I think the most entertaining thing I've seen in a long time was driving around the campus yesterday, and we came upon this bright, shiny, beautiful new building, and it said the Strom Thurmond Health and Wellness Center. And it was their big new fitness, and not a joke. I mean,
no,
it was
it's
serious. And we just kept picturing him, crawling out of his wheelchair to grope another woman's body parts that she didn't want done.
A yoga instructor. Are you here again, Strom? Come here, dude! Oh, my God. Anyway, the reason I bring that up, a South Carolina sheriff, this guy is named, what's his name? Richland County Sheriff Leon Lott. Leon. Leon has decided that they are not, they're not going to go after 14-time gold medal winner Michael Phelps for the picture of him holding a bong to his face. The sheriff said after what is being called over there in South Carolina a highly publicized investigation, the sheriff said, well, I just don't have enough physical evidence. Leon said, we had a photo and we had him saying he was sorry for his inappropriate behavior. That behavior could have been going to a party. No, you dumbass, going to a party is not inappropriate behavior. But anyway... Leon said, he never said I smoked marijuana. He never confessed that. So, what are you going to do? Leon said authorities in South Carolina had seized the marijuana water pipe known as a bong. In the photo, during the investigation into Michael Phelps's criminal activities, right? But the sheriff and the investigators couldn't prove that Michael Phelps had smoked from it. So Leon says, well, you know what? Holding a bong is not a crime. They're sold in stores. We're kind of sending a double message, though. You can buy rolling papers at any convenience store in the world, and we're telling kids not to smoke dope. That's fairly easy, wouldn't you think, Leon? In the first place, we tell kids not to smoke cigarettes, but you live in a state that produces as much tobacco as any state in the union. As a matter of fact, you could say, Leon, that the state of South Carolina exports more death and destruction into the United States and overseas than a million pot dealers. But never mind, I digress. The sheriff, who is known for his tough stance on drug crimes, said, ignoring the photo, you see that photo of Michael Phelps, that bong, if we'd ignored that photo, it would have been a message of tolerance, and we are not going to tolerate drug abuse and marijuana smoking here in South Carolina. We will smoke our goddamn cigarettes until we all have lung cancer, and we'll make sure everybody else does. But a doobie? Oh, no. Nuh-uh. Ain't no way. Leon rose from patrol officer to captain of the narcotics division, and he's now the sheriff. In the early 1990s, he was well known in the county for wearing stylish suits like the drug agents on Miami Vice and driving a Porsche seized from a drug dealer. Oh, hot damn. Come here, baby. The sheriff said the investigation involved two, count them, two narcotics officers who logged 25 hours over about a week investigating that photograph. Let me see here. Let me turn it sideways. Well, no, damn, it's still a bong. Here, turn it upside down. Can you see smoke in there? Oh, there might be smoke. What is it? Is that from a Lucky or a Camel or a Winston or from the demon weed? Damn, we just can't figure it out here, sheriff. Sheriff Lott Leon said the house where the November party took place and another suburban home near Columbia had previously been investigated for drugs. They investigated the house. House? House? You don't have to answer if you don't want to, house, but we're over here to investigate for drugs. Open your basement door. All right, boys, go in there. House, we got a warrant. House? You can remain silent if you want to, but by God, it'd be better if you talk to me, boy. Ain't gonna talk, all right? How do you investigate a house? Leon's investigation, according to the Associated Press, was criticized in newspaper editorials, on talk shows, and by defense attorneys who questioned whether the sheriff was being overzealous because of Michael Phelps' celebrity status. No. Really? You think? Huh? The sheriff said, well, you know what? You know what? Even if I had the evidence I needed to charge this boy with smoking the weed, I couldn't force Michael Phelps to return to South Carolina because you know what? Here in South Carolina, it's just a misdemeanor possession charge. So I couldn't have done anything about it. No, I couldn't. I'll turn all this over to Bob Jones University as another example of how these snotty Yankee kids that go over to, where'd he go? To Peking or somewhere over there, and he won all them gold medals, and he comes back here and he thinks he can smoke pot. Well, I'll tell you what, I wish I had that damn Porsche back. You know what I'm saying? I really do. Anybody want a cigarette? We got lots of cigarettes. You know, we confiscate cigarettes down here. That's right, we do. And then you know what we do with them? We sell them on eBay, half price. How about that? But a little reefer?
Oh, no. Ain't going to have a little reefer.
We'll be back after the break. I've got to stop. I got to get off of this dumbass white boy southern accent. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the I Don't Know Network. So upset they sent him off to jail. Maybe we should help the fiend and take away his spine. But we're busy reading Playboy and the Sunday New York Times, and I'm sure it wouldn't interest anybody outside of a small circle of friends. Smoking marijuana is more fun than drinking beer. A friend of ours was captured and they gave him 30 years. Maybe we should raise our voices, ask somebody why. A demonstration.
much too high, and I'm sure it wouldn't interest.
Nighty night, truth seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Might as well start the program. Well, we already started the program, didn't we? With that bit of nonsense about the old Leon over in Columbia, South Carolina, and Michael Phelps. And the law in the books about holding on to a bong. Yeah, okay. From Prairie 2, let's start with this. Prairie 2 writes, on the Sunday talk shows, Lindsey Graham, he's from South Carolina, said, as a matter of fact, that he, Lindsey Graham, expects few, if any, of the large banks to survive the stress test that Treasury will put them through, and that nationalization of the banks is on the table. Whew, that's from a Republican. Apparently, there is no Republican talking point to cover this. And he absentmindedly blurted out the truth. Yeah. Obama has said he opposes the nationalization of the banks and has left the Republicans standing flat-footed. Obama says he will do something if given no choice. And since the Republicans want to distance themselves from the Bush bank bailouts, they are painted into a corner. If the banks fail the stress test, the Republicans can't very well suggest giving them more public money. The stress test includes an audit of the bank's existing assets and then setting capital requirements based on the expectations of the future economy. They do this all the time with small banks, but there has never been the political will to rein in the big banks. Rather, they have been allowed to engage in ever worse predatory behavior and risky practices in an attempt to keep up the appearance of profitability. Supposedly, these banks will be given an opportunity to raise private capital, but since China has said that they don't trust American banks any longer, there isn't much chance that they will be able to raise the huge sums required. The big hedge funds might have that kind of money, but they're used to much bigger returns than a bank that is actually regulated is likely to produce. The government has no obligation to allow the banks to try to recapitalize. The government has no obligation to allow the banks to try to recapitalize or continue operations since they are in gross violation of their charters, not to mention all the fraud and various other felonies that the banks are guilty of. If Obama pulls this off, the people who are the heirs to Prescott Bush and Herbert Walker's legacy will find themselves out of power for the first time in 130 years. Not that the war will be over, but there could be a glimmer of dawn's early light through the smoke of battle. Is our flag still there? From Prairie 2. And speaking of some things fiscal, Kansas, my God. This is from Kansas.com. Kansas has suspended income tax refunds, state income tax refunds, and may not be able to pay employees on time, the state's budget director said today. The state doesn't have enough money in its main bank account to pay the bills, which prompts the governor, Kathleen Sebelius, to suggest transferring $225 million from other accounts throughout state government. But the move required approval from legislative leaders, and the Republicans refused today. The Republicans refused. Of course they did. They don't give a damn about your taxes. They want to bleed you to death. You Kansans, what is the matter with Kansas? So once again, the obstructionist Republicans taking in the state of Kansas, within the state, taking their orders from the Republican Party's leadership. Rush Limbaugh, Joe the Plumber, and the hoe from Wasilla, Alaska. The Republicans have said, ain't going to transfer no money. We don't want those consumers getting a tax refund anyway. Heh, the hell with them. Now, watch. Next session, they'll introduce a bill to abolish the state income tax.
Huh? What do you think? What do you think?
Of course, Jack, who sent this in, said, of course, we will spend billions upon billions on an illegal war of aggression in Afghanistan, which has nothing whatsoever to do with what happened on September 11th. But I digress, Jack. Kansas now. Isn't California on the verge of that? I don't know what the hell's going on here in Georgia. We have all Republicans here, too. You go ahead, boys. Yeah, you go ahead. Except for our agriculture commissioner, who is about 112 years old. What's his name, Kathy?
I don't know, but I think they're about to name a fitness center
for him,
Georgia Tech.
Our agriculture commissioner is a Democrat, and it was up to him to bring the hammer down on that old peanut factory down there that's murdered a bunch of people. But our agriculture commissioner, what is his name? He can't remember it either. You know, somebody said, you realize what's going on with the peanut came out of that place down? No, what happened? We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
And your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Regarding that story about Kansas and suspending income tax refunds and may miss their payrolls and yada, yada, yada. Same thing in California. And then this from the Times of the UK. The Chinese are chartering trips to fly into the United States to buy property. According to the Times of the UK, one trip organized by SOU Fun Holdings, So Fun Holdings, So Fun Holdings, China's leading property website company. They signed up 40 people. Who will make this tour to the United States to buy properties costing several hundred thousand dollars. The chairman of this company, it's SOUFUN.com, SOUFUN.com. He told the Times that his clients were hardly run-of-the-mill Chinese in a country where the gross domestic product per head is about $4,000 a year. Mr. Tianquan, is that his name? Mo Tianquan? Mo? Mr. Mo said, these people are not ordinary members of the masses. Oh, my God. Anybody know what's happening? I sure don't. Anyway, Mr. Mo received 400 applications for the trip and whittled the number down to 40. The group will visit San Francisco, Las Vegas, New York, and Boston. Mr. Mo said, most members of the group are between 35 and 50. They are looking for houses and apartments in the $300,000 to $800,000 range. These are successful entrepreneurs or professionals who already own at least one property in China. They're looking for a home to accommodate a child while at university in America, or simply an investment opportunity. Mr. Mo said, I don't know how much money these people have. I would say they must have at least $1 million in cash. That's cash they can spend anytime, not investments. anyway, it goes on. It's really really kind of weird. There's one hurdle here. It's not clear how even the super rich will get their assets out of China. Assets out of China, because China limits the amount of a Chinese person can take out each year to $50,000. But this is different. This is, remember, I don't know. Do y'all remember back in the was it the 80s? Or a little bit later, when the Japanese started buying up everything in America, remember, they bought Rockefeller Center, they bought this, they bought that. Remember that? And then the Japanese went belly up. Of course, if the Chinese go belly up, civilization as we know it will end about 2 weeks after their economy tanks. Because if the Chinese economy tanks, with 1.2 or 3 billion people there who will all of a sudden realize that there's no place to go at home and nothing to do, so it's time to go conquer the whole world. And they will attempt to do so. At which point, President whoever will let loose the nukes. And the Chinese will respond accordingly. We're real close. You know that, don't you? I was talking to somebody today who said they're going to convert all of their, they're going to pay for all of their current indebtedness by getting a loan at the bank or wherever they get loans. They feel secure they could get a loan. And they're going to have it all put into a huge balloon payment that comes due December 21st, 2012. Because on December 20th, 2012, according to the Mayan calendar, you know, it's all over. Oh, I thought it was funny. What about John McCain? Ron in Briarwood, New York points this out, and I've been wondering this too. McCain is a loser. McCain ought to sit down and shut his bumpy mouth up. He really should. What the hell? Who is McCain? Who is John McCain? Who is this guy? Ron writes, Mike, the media whores still think McCain's opinion on anything is worth airing. The nation's voters rejected his ideas by a large margin. In fact, McCain got a smaller percentage of the vote than Dukakis did back in 1988. Dukakis received 45.6% and McCain got 45.5%. And Ron writes, I don't remember the media asking Dukakis to opine about anything after the election back then. McCain could have ended his political career with grace. Instead, the sad, bitter man's recent comments only show the electorate's decision was correct. He is way too small for this big job. Ron in New York. Yeah, yeah, I agree. But the media whores, you see the key two words in there, Ron, are the media whores. Right away, you said it. The media whores still think McCain, you know. Anybody with an ounce of sense realizes McCain is a has-been. A has-been, really a has-been. And it's time to move on. But the media whores who are just starting to slobber all over themselves, this is getting embarrassing. But I can understand, after 8 years of either silence or being on their hands and knees to be a footstool for Karl Rove, or doing for the Bush crime family what Monica did for Bill Clinton, to put a smile on his face. After the news media have done this for 8 years, just slimy, cowardly, with a few exceptions. You know, there's always a few exceptions. There's a few notable exceptions, even in mainstream media. There are. I'm talking about the 99.5% who are not media exceptions. I'm talking about that vast sea of slimy, snotty reporters and anchor people and scribes who really do think they've got it all down, and now they're going to be tough. Yeah, well, we put up with all our crap for 8 years. Now we're going to get tough. Who are you going to get tough on? Obama! Why him? Why not get tough on the Republicans? You're safe now. The Republicans can't fight back. They can't pull your press passes. They can't kick you off the White House lawn. They can't deny you access. Go after them. They're the ones that did this, you dumbasses.
No, We got to show the leadership of the Republican Party how strong we are. By God, we're We're news media. We got to show Limbaugh and Joe the Plumber and the hoe from Wasilla that we're capable of being real, you know, incisive.
Scummy bastards. Scummy bastards. And then, of course, with that recent passage of the almost $800 billion stimulus bill, with the support of three Republicans, this cracks me up. As CNN reports, top Republican lawmakers yesterday called on President Obama to change his political strategy, arguing that the passage of that stimulus bill on a party line vote showed he has failed to deliver the change he promised. Lindsey Graham, want to go home and take care of his decaying state capital. Lindsey Graham said, if this is going to be bipartisanship, the country's screwed. I know bipartisanship when I see it. He was on ABC's This Week. Really? Do you, Lindsey? You know about partisanship? Yeah, I know it too when I see it, and I haven't seen it for a long time. And if you scum-sucking Republicans think that, you know, what is bipartisanship to Republicans? We all know what that means. That means the Democrats, even when they hold the White House and both houses of Congress, the Democrats are supposed to sit down and shut up. That's bipartisanship to these dead Republicans. The Republican Party needs to be murdered. The entire party, the Republican Party, needs to be decapitated. It's a terrorist organization. So Lindsey Graham, speaking, self-appointed spokesman for the terrorist organization, says, well, if this is bipartisanship, country's screwed. I know bipartisanship when I see it. Do you, Lindsey? Huh? And McCain, old lumpy, said Obama was off to what McCain calls a bad beginning. Really? Says who? Says you? What is it, 86%? 84% of the American public support Obama, and like 60-some percent support the stimulus plan? Who in the hell is McCain talking about or to? Who's Lindsey Graham talking about or to? Oh, that's right. The core membership in the Republican Party, the religious whack jobs, the booger eaters, the ones that think Sarah Palin is just the future of the party. Isn't she great? Yeah, she's got a great ass, too. Isn't she wonderful? Boy, I like her. She sold an airplane on eBay. Graham said on ABC, this is not change we can believe in. Democrats rammed it through the House. Yeah, they rammed it through the House, and their whole thing was, we won, we write the bill. Yeah, Lindsey, that's how it works. That's how it works! The party that wins or controls the House writes the bills. You got it, pal!
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Kevin in Madison reminds that it was Grover Norquist, remember, who said bipartisan is just another word for date rape. He's this, big-time Republican who wants to strangle democracy, wants to strangle social programs in their cradle. He said, don't even give them a chance to breathe. And back when Grover Norquist said that, the bipartisan is just another word for date rape, or bipartisanship is another word for date rape, you know, the Republicans were all knee-slapping and high-fiving each other and saying, yeah, that's right! God damn, Grover, you sure got that right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, Lindsey and McCain, why don't you two call up Grover and get him to say that for you in your, into your BlackBerry, and just have Grover say it again. You know, bipartisan is just another word for date rape. And as John in Los Angeles writes, Republican bipartisanship defined. Here it is. Republicans write the bills, Democrats sign them. Yeah, right. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? Not unexpected, not shocking. Just amazing that the Republican whiners who are slowly being whittled down, wait till the midterm elections when another 20 of them get their asses handed to them in the House and another three or four bite the dirt in the Senate. Listen to them whine and squeal and bitch and cry and oh, Obama's this. Oh, Obama, he's not bipartisanship. You dumb jerk balls. You're the ones that refuse to sit down and talk. Obama's done it, like him or hate him, truth seekers. Obama keeps going to the House, going to the Republican caucus, going out to Indiana with their, one of the members of the Republican delegation. Just on and on and on, trying his damnedest. And what are the Republicans doing?
I ain't talking to the color guy.
No, he's your president.
Oh, I ain't talking to the colored president.
Okay. Fine. Then sit down and shut up. No. I'm sorry. Keep standing up and yelping and bleating like the cowards and the America haters you are, so the American public can get a good beat on you and eliminate you in the ballot box in 2010. Huh? Oh, yes! I'm waiting for the day even South Carolina comes out of the ether and looks around and says, ugh. How do we get like this? Two words, Strom Thurmond and Lindsey Graham. Well, that's four words. No, that's two. Man. Whether the stimulus package ultimately pulls this rapidly disintegrating country out of the mess or not is kind of beside the point where it concerns the political garbage coming out of the mouths of these Republicans. They don't care. Stimulus, schmimulus. They don't care, Republicans. They couldn't care less, is what I'm trying to say. They want to see America fail. They want to see the economic system fail. Do they want nationalization of the banks? No! They want the banks to go into the hands of a few who can then play all these global financial games and steal everything! Republicans are losers. They all have stinky breath. And the Republican Party needs to be beheaded. And how do you do that? You go to the ballot box and shoo, shoo, shoo. Here goes another one. Shoo. There goes another one. Shoo. There goes another one. Shoo. There goes another one. And you just keep doing that until the Republican Party becomes, I don't know what, just a blurred, sickening memory. And then we go to work on the Democratic Party. Shoo. Shoo. And get the blue dogs first and the cowardly conservative Democrats next. What is this poll I heard about today? Abraham Lincoln wins the poll. Finished first, Abraham Lincoln, in a ranking by historians of the 42 former White House occupants. George Bush finished 36th. Narrowly edging out Millard Fillmore, Warren Harding, and Franklin Pierce. The guy that finished last was James Buchanan, the man who was in power before Lincoln. Bush is 36. I don't understand that. I don't understand how he finished that high. He's a scummy, slimy, incompetent, illiterate, non-functioning jerk who... stole the office with the help of his daddy's friends on the Supreme Court, and then stole his so-called reelection with the help of all these Republicans stashed in the Secretary of State's offices around the country. I mean, that's very simple. The survey asked the 65 historians who took part to rank each president on 10 qualities of leadership, ranging from public persuasion and economic management to international relations and moral authority. Ah! Bush doesn't even belong in the same county with that kind of a survey, much less on the list. 36th? How did he get so high? Oh, my God. And Bill Clinton? He registered the greatest gain among recent presidents since the last survey. He went from 21st to 15th. Ronald Reagan edged forward from 11th to 10th. And George Herbert Herbert Bush moved up from 20th to 18th. God. George W. Bush, 36. That means he is the, what, sixth worst president in the history of this republic. I would give him much higher rankings than that, you know, the other way, like maybe 39th. All right, break here. We'll be back. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. We will move momentarily to some phone calls, but just a few more items here. John in Los Angeles wants to know how much of the Republican refusal to support Barack Obama's programs has to do with racism. I think a lot of it does. Oh, my God, yes. Only it's a broader kind of racism than just against African Americans or Americans of African descent. It's against anybody of any kind of color or hue other than that which white people can get from lying on the sun on some beach somewhere. That's a fact. I mean, it is a fact. Republicans, white Republicans, won't even unite with black folk where it concerns worshiping the same God or the same avatar of God. Just they're kind of like the Shia and the Sunnis, or maybe the Israelis and Palestinians. Republicans do not like people that do not look just like them, and I'm talking about mostly male Republicans. Female Republicans know their place. Their husbands and their preachers and their elected representatives remind these Republican women of their place. And their place is to shut up. Occasionally they'll let one of the nutcases rise, like Phyllis Schlafly or the hoe from Wasilla. But the main job of a Republican woman is to shut up. Just shut up. Where it concerns, that's as far as gender goes. Where it concerns race, why hell yes, Republicans are racist. That's why it just tickles the hell out of me to see somebody like this Michael Steele, is that his name? The African American from Maryland who got elected, quote, to be head of the Republican Party. Certainly, this man understands, first of all, he's like a chicken hanging out with Colonel Sanders. And secondly, certainly Michael Steele must understand that what he represents is the perfect example, the sine qua non of tokenism. There he is. Does that take anything away from his ability? I don't know what his ability is. I know the Republican Party. If Jesus Christ were black, which he probably was, and came back, the Republican Party would tell him to go away, boy. Republicans are racist. Period. By definition, they are racist. They are elitist. They are anti-woman. Come on. Everybody knows this. Even Republicans, they know it. They'd be the first to tell you. And the way they tell you is their vehement denial.
What are you saying, Malloy? I'll take care of my woman. It's like I take care of my dog.
Yeah, that's the point. Oh, God. Of course, John in Los Angeles, they want to see Barack Obama fail. Because if he succeeds, a black guy succeeds? Woohoo! What's next? A Latino president? Then what? Oh my God! But that's kind of secondary. Primary to Republicans is they will murder the country before they will see policies that they've been fighting against for 80 years continue to succeed. The policies of FDR. They don't care. They will cut their own mama's throats if it means, you know, ending that dirty communist Social Security and that filthy for the illegal immigrants Medicaid and all the other garbage those Democrats have shoved down our throats. You know, highways and air traffic controllers and labor unions, you know, bastards, and regulations on everything. I'd rather eat poison peanut butter. You're damn right. Republicans are evil. Just keep that in mind. And they'll tell you that. They'll admit it. Why wouldn't they? Ask the next Republican you see, are you evil? And listen to the answer. Now, of course, you have to kind of weave your way through the sputtering and spittle that flies all over the place that he or she will heave at you when you ask the question. But if you parse through the words, because no Republican is going to answer you honestly. They don't answer anything honestly. They're incapable of doing that. They're also cowards and liars. You don't think so? Of course you do. What else? Oh, I love this. Paul Begala at his blog at CNN is suggesting that if you voted against the stimulus plan, don't take the money. Oh, gee, where'd he hear that? Wonder where you heard that. He cites Governor Mark Sanford of South Carolina. It seems to be South Carolina's turn in the barrel tonight, right? It really is a state with exceptions. I mean, they're damn good people over there. None of them are Republicans. But and the work the University of South Carolina does, in spite of the Christian mouth breathers, is good work. And Charleston is a lovely city. Even though it was where the Civil War began, but it's still a lovely city. And the beaches, South Carolina beaches, great beaches, man. The islands out there, the swamplands and the marshes, it's a gorgeous country. But that's not the part of it I'm talking about. I'm talking about its political system and the way the state is going just right down the toilet with unemployment. But Gallo writes, Governor Mark Sanford of South Carolina took umbrage at my writing that his approach to the economic crisis is to do nothing. Let me make a modest proposal, but Gallo writes. If Republican politicians are so deeply opposed to Obama's economic recovery plan, they should refuse to take the money. After all, if you think all that federal spending is damaging, there are easy ways to reduce it. Don't take any! That's right. That's right. Of course, we talked about that on this program, what, Kathy, 2 weeks ago? But that's all right. I steal from everybody, but Gallic can steal from us. He goes on to say Governor Sanford can lead the way. South Carolina should decline to accept any federal funds for transportation, education, health care, clean energy, or any of the other ideas Obama is advocating to fix the economy. And the rest of the Republican Party can follow suit. I agree. Damn right. Governor Sanford can be the guinea pig about what Justice Louis Brandeis famously called states being laboratories of democracy. So let's experiment. Sanford can be the guinea pig. South Carolina already gets back $1.35 from Washington for every dollar it pays in federal taxes. That's according to 2005 numbers. That's the latest that are available. They get back $1.35 for every dollar they pay in. Therefore, South Carolina is a ward of the federal government. It's been on welfare for years, way beyond what Bill Clinton set out in his end welfare as we know it gig. So if Governor Sanford, Begala writes, is so all-fired opposed to federal spending, let's start by cutting federal spending in South Carolina. Yeah, there you go. Under the Bush-Sanford economic theory, South Carolina's unemployment rate has reached 9.5%, among the highest in the nation. But if Governor Sanford wants to continue those policies, do it! Do it! God! I don't understand. I don't understand how stupid these Republicans are. More on Begala here in a minute. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Left out? Join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
Let it be, let it be. 21 past the hour. A little bit more on Begala's CNN blog or whatever. Begala says, make no mistake about it, Republicans like Governor Terry Sanford Mark Sanford of South Carolina want to go back to the bad old days of George W. Bush. In his CNN.com column, Governor Sanford expends 605 words attacking Obama's plan to turn the country around after 8 years of Bush Republican and Mark Sanford economics. That's his right. But attacking Obama's plan is not itself an alternative plan. Nor is dredging up hoary old gripes about the New Deal, nor indeed is deriding neighborhood electric vehicles, which create jobs, save money, reduce pollution, as, quote, streamlined golf courts, unquote. But that's what Sanford offers us. Begala says, Sanford then turns to his ideas, keeping in mind that he favors doing nothing. He devotes precisely one half of one sentence. What happened is, what's his name? Sanford wrote a response on CNN.com to something Begala wrote about Sanford presiding over one of the poorest states in the Union. Anyway, Paul says, Sanford devotes precisely one half of one sentence to his plan to save the world economy. Here they are. Cutting the payroll tax, opening foreign markets through an expansion of our trade agreements, and reducing our corporate tax, which is among the highest worldwide. End quote. Wow. As we say in the South, I've got the vapors. So cutting taxes will get us out of this mess. That's all we need to do. We don't need to extend unemployment insurance or update health information technology or move to renewable energy or repair roads or rebuild bridges or modernize the power grid or prevent states and cities from laying off teachers and cops or any of the other myriad proposals in Obama's plan. That's it? Cut the corporate income tax? Cut the payroll tax? Yeah, that'll do it. Hell, we're home free. They're crazy. They're just freaking crazy. And don't you know that finally Obama is starting to figure out what he has to do? He has to continue, I think, to get out there and talk to people, drive home the fact that he does represent right now about the only chance this country has to pull out of this. There is no such thing as Republican leadership. The Republican Party has leadership. That's Rush Limbaugh and Joe the Plumber and the hoe from Wasilla. But that's it. That's their leadership. You know, these well-fed freaks like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham, they have nothing. I mean, yeah, cut corporate tax. Oh, okay. All right. Sure, we'll do that. Gee, fellas. But Barack Obama is starting to understand, isn't he? He made his effort. He really did. Come on, fellas. You can just hear him, can't you? Come on, fellas. Look. Can we just set it aside for a little bit? Let's try to save the country. You know, I can't go too far with this. I can't offer up the $2 trillion that we really need. But I'm going to go like maybe halfway and let's get it started. And once, you know, folks start going back to work or this happens, that happens, then we can take it to level two. Come on, guys. Come on. Just get on board with me. Come on, Republicans and you conservative Democrats. Come on. We've got a country to save. We have an economy to save. Come on, guys. And what did they do?
Well,
no, come on. I'll tell you what. Come on over to my house. It happens to be the White House. Come on over for a party. We'll have a cocktail party. Come on. We'll toss back a few Jack Black and Branch Water. Or do you like Diet Coke? Diet Coke and Jack Black? Okay, come on. And then what did he do? Hey, let's have a dinner. Come on over for dinner. Come on to my house for dinner. I got this great kitchen staff. We'll fix you up some real soul food. You boys ever had soul food? Okay, well, come on. We'll fix you something. And then after all that, hey, I tell you what, I'll come down to y'all's territory. I'll come down. I'll talk to the Republican caucus. You want to send in three of your members or 20 of them? Send them in, 50 of them. I'll talk to you. Come on, guys, we got a job to do. Come on now. Can't you just once in your lousy, disgusting, filthy, bloated lives? Can't you just once? Set aside your politics and focus on the country. Can't you do that, Republicans?
Nah, we can't do that. We don't like color people anyway.
Until he cries and he dies and he dies.
turn on your night when you turn off your light. Go to bed with Mike Malloy every night on Nova M Radio.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those gnats in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war.
It is 25 before the hour. Okay, do we have some folks on hold? Okay, well, let's make them not wait any longer. Phone number here is 800-989-1480, starting with Linda in Massachusetts, listening on XM. Hey, Linda.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good, man. Hey, you are ranting and raving about Republicans as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I agree with you 100%. Hey, I belong to a message board, Democratic Warriors.
Yeah.
They hate Republicans.
Yeah, well, I think anybody with a sense evolution gave a sack full of doorknobs would not want anything to do with the Republican. What the hell have they done for the country?
No kidding. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
I wrote sorry, I'm freaking laughing. I wrote a couple of talking points. Can I do that?
What do you mean?
Well, just real quick.
Well, wait, tell me what you mean. What do you mean you wrote a couple of talking
just
points?
Well, just so I'd remember what I wanted to say to you.
Oh, to me. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. The thing that's bothering me.
Yeah?
One thing is the drone bombings in Pakistan.
Right.
By Obama.
Well, we talked about that last week. We're not sure if it's coming from Obama or if it's... Let me finish. We're not sure if it's coming from Obama or if it's a standing order authority given to the CIA... that just simply has not been dealt with and rescinded yet. We don't know. There's already resistance to Obama within the crazy part of the upper reaches of the military.
Right.
There's some things going on that if you and I knew about it, we would probably start looking for our passports and want to get the hell out of here for a while.
Right.
It's not Obama, as far as I know. Could be. But I don't think it's Obama saying, well, let's go bomb Pakistan again today. I don't think so.
All right. Well, I'll give you that. Maybe. But I don't know. It did happen on his first week.
Well, right.
Well, you know, and he's in charge, right?
Well, he is. But let me just say again what you already know: the Bush crime family and these Republicans have given Barack Obama about 30 different issues that have to be taken care of right now.
I know.
And when you're handed that,
I know.
You've got to prioritize.
I know, but it just made me really upset.
Me too. And I think right now, for most American citizens, what do we have? We have 25,000. Troops in Afghanistan. Most Americans couldn't even find Afghanistan on a map, much less, or Pakistan, either one, much less be
okay.
Concerned about what's going on. So let me finish. So Barack Obama has got to deal with the issue that put him in the Oval Office, and that is the economic issue that the Republicans have so screwed up. So
why not?
He's got to work his way down this mountain of trash
exactly.
That the Republicans left him.
Okay, second point. I live in Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
And they want to put chips in our inspection stickers so they can charge us for every mile we drive.
Now, who told you that?
No, it's been in the newspapers.
What newspaper? Send me a link.
The Boston Globe.
Send me a link. Let me read it.
I will send you a link.
Yeah, just send me a link to it.
But that's bizarre, man.
A chip in what?
A chip in your, you have to get your car inspected every year here in Massachusetts, right?
Well, you do in Georgia, too. And what are they going to do?
They want to put a chip in the inspection sticker so they can track every mile you drive and then charge you for it.
Now, do you have any idea how they do that with the chip in the inspection sticker?
I don't know, but that's what they're saying.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to reject that one as a bunch of stewed owl droppings, Linda, until you send me a link to the story.
I will.
Okay. You'll send it tonight, right?
Remember, I sent you a letter, but you.
I don't know. You sent me a letter or an email?
You read it on the air.
A letter or an email?
An email, I mean.
Okay.
Okay. I call it a letter.
Well, I've read. Linda, I'm sorry I don't particularly remember any one given email. I read like.
You told me to stop swearing.
All right, look, have you got some other talking point?
Yeah, the other one is the GOP is on acid.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, I'll tell you what, Linda, send me the link to the story about the chip in the inspection sticker. And if you don't send it tonight, I'm going to write it off as so much nonsense that somebody, some right-wing freakoid, put out there. You know, one time when I was working in Chicago on WLS, just for the hell of it one night, just to see how gullible people were, I went on the air and I said, you know what the city of Chicago is planning now? They're going to issue walking permits in order to walk the streets in the loop, which is essentially downtown Chicago. You have to have a permit, and it's a taxable permit. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's not like you're going to be stopped and frisked. But when you're out walking, you have to have it visibly displayed. It'll cost $14.95 a year. It's how the city of Chicago is going to raise money. You have to have a walking permit. If you don't, you can be fined. You're not going to be arrested, nothing like that, but you will be fined. You must have. And this starts, and I picked a date, so that's when it's going to start. And within 24 hours, the mayor's office, Daley's office, was calling WLS. What are you doing over there? We've had hundreds of phone calls about the walking, and people were calling in saying, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. Oh, my God. Well, really, Malloy? I said, well, that's what I hear. It was incredible.
You're forgetting some of the best parts of that story. One of them was someone called up and said, well, how are they going to know what to charge you? And you said it was going to be on weight. That you were going to have to go to your place where you got your driver's license. And even if you didn't have a driver's license, you were going to have to do a weight test, just like you had to do a vision test and a hearing test. They were going to weigh you, and it was going to be based on how much you weighed. And on certain streets, if you were too heavy, you couldn't walk at all.
And people
and might have to go down to Lower Wacker and walk instead of Upper Wacker and walk.
That's a street in the loop in Chicago.
What is so funny is it was just plausible enough because they had just started that city sticker thing on the cars.
Right.
And they were that's what prompted the story.
Right.
Was because they'd done the city stickers on your car, and so right. You said, well, now they're going to do walking stickers.
Right. So Linda, as far as little chips in your inspection sticker, I'm not saying it's not true.
You're trying to take credit for the story.
I'm not saying it's not true, Linda. Maybe Massachusetts has decided to do that. But I'm looking at my email now. They you haven't sent it yet. come on, Linda. Send me that link. It's in the Boston Globe. All right, maybe it was. I'll tell you what, Linda. You send it to me, and I will come on the air and say, well, I apologize, Linda, for doubting you. And here's the story, America. And I'll share it with everybody. Damn, I'm looking for your email, Linda. I just don't see it here. Oh, well, it takes a little time, you know. All right. you got an hour and 20 minutes, Linda. Let's see if you can come up with it. Yeah. Bob is calling from New York City, listening on XM. Bob, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi, Mike.
Hi, Bob.
Yes, Mike, I love your show. I've listened to it many times. I try to listen to it as often as I can.
Well, thank you.
Okay, great. In 2008, you were touching on 9/11, and like you were to go into it a little bit deeper, and then like you never went back into it. And I was just curious why you never went back into it, and maybe someone told you not to.
Now, what story was it?
It was about 9/11. You were going to go into the depths of 9/11 and how it was possibly an inside job or something like that.
No. Let me answer the second part first. Nobody tells me what to say on this program. Nobody tells me what I can't say. Nobody tells me what language I may or may not use. I've been in radio for 25 years. If anybody wants to take this program, any affiliate or anybody wants to hire me, they know what they're getting. I don't care if the issue is Israel, Palestine. I don't care if it's 9/11. It doesn't make any difference to me. I will say what I want to say. That's why it's called
The Mike Malloy Show.
Now, the reason I did not pursue that more intensely is because so many other things came up. I understand that the 9/11 issue is one of the premier issues of how the Bush crime family failed this country miserably. How the Bush crime family may have set us up for this. How the Bush crime family at the very least was so incompetent that it happened anyway. So, because they didn't care. They were looking for something like that so George could become a war president and they could gut the Constitution.
I agree.
Now, with the situation, with things the way they are right now, just like I was telling Linda, there has to be some prioritization, if that's the word. Things have to be put in declining order of importance. 9/11 is a very important issue to me, extremely important. I will go to my grave believing that the Bush crime family was somehow involved in that horror.
I do too.
I will also go to my grave not believing the conclusions of the 9/11 Commission. Absolutely not. I've said it before. I don't know what the truth is, but I will guarantee you that it's not what was fed to the American public. So, no, I haven't talked about it, Bob, because there have been other things that have been so pressing to me. I've got to make these editorial decisions about the program. And for the past 6-8 months, it's been the election, the primary season, and now it's this assault on Barack Obama. But it's there. The story's there. I haven't forgotten it. I will do it. I promise you. Okay?
Thank you so much, Mike. You have a good night.
All right, Bob. You too. Take care. We'll be
bye-bye.
Right back.
Bye-bye.
Sometimes again it seems all I have is worry. Then you finally see my mother's eye. Yeah, but I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let
the next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
All right. Linda, about 40 other listeners have sent me links to the story. So let me grovel a little bit. Hold on a minute. Let me get down. I'm groveling. I'm on the floor groveling. Ah, beat me. Flail me. You're right, Linda. Here's what it says. Patrick, that's the governor, Patrick is also considering a new system that would charge drivers based on the miles they travel. Those trips would be measured by a chip installed in the vehicle inspection sticker. Oh, God. I'm sorry, Linda. I doubted you. Growl. Let me grovel some more. Hold on a minute. Okay, that's enough.
Well, it's a good thing that we're not on any talk show stations in liberal Boston, because then the mayor's office would be lit up with calls again from some frantic Malloy listeners, but there are no broadcast Malloy listeners in Boston.
Well, there are on XM and Sirius.
Apparently there's no liberals in Boston.
That's true. That's
true. Want to hear progressive radio.
Okay, so to everybody who emailed us in, good God, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. He 18, 20, 22, 24, 26, 28, 33. About 40, Linda.
Oh, you're making it up. We don't have that many listeners.
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's true. We have 37 listeners. All right, some of them mailed in twice then. Oh, my God. A chip installed in your inspection sticker? He must have stolen that idea from us in Chicago about the walking stickers, you think? I think he did.
I was always surprised after you suggested it.
That nobody did it. That they didn't do it. Yeah, a great revenue raiser, right? All right, back to your phone calls. Jeremy, who is calling from Huntington Beach, California. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike. Sorry to bother you again. I wanted to raise awareness. Dianne Feinstein, an all-too-familiar Republican fashion, tried to kill net neutrality by stoking fear and loathing in purposefully vague language, you know. The bill says, quote, the assistant secretary shall allow for reasonable network management practices, end quote, you know, regulating the Internet. The language did not limit regulation at all with such vague terms. They package this Trojan horse crap by suggesting it's about child molesters, you know, and copyright infringement. That's crap. You know, it's kind of like you can't vote against the Patriot Act. It's called the Patriot Act. Or you can't vote against the war in Iraq because people
Well,
might
Jeremy,
be
I have terrorists. To I have to plead massive ignorance on that issue because I haven't been following it. But what I will do is go to wired.com and get to the level where I can at least talk about it because I I'm totally out of the loop on this one. If Feinstein or anybody is doing something to censor, control, or otherwise tamper with the anarchy that is the World Wide Web, I say, into the streets with flaming torches and pitchforks. It's about the only thing left that can't be manipulated by corporate America. Not all of it. I mean, some of it can, of course. And also, we have to consider that at least half, maybe more, of the stuff that we get off the Internet is garbage. But the other half, which means millions of words and sites and places and things, is not garbage. It is essential. So, all right, Jeremy, I'll try to educate myself on that so I know what the hell you're talking about and can respond. Joe is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, it's laughable. This is some of these Republicans like Larry Kudlow trying to show signs of strength in the economy. He points to the railroads. He points to something called the Baltic Dry Index. Do you know what that is?
The what index?
The Baltic Dry Index.
Baltic Dry?
Right. It's the shipping numbers for a dry product being shipped by ships.
Oh, no.
It's up 100 points. And he's trying to tell you it's good for America. What's really going on is countries like China, with huge reserves of U.S. dollars, are obviously renting ships at very cheap prices and buying all the commodities from the U.S. at very cheap prices.
Yeah.
We're shipping our resources to China every day at very low prices. So China, when this thing turns around, is going to have stockpiles of zinc, copper, coal, you know, everything at very low prices. And our companies, which have no money now, will have to pay the higher prices. So we're in economic trouble for the rest of the century.
Yeah. Well, what do you think would be? I don't have a solution. What do you think would be a good solution?
Well, the thing is, I mean, we got to get rid of every damn Republican in here. You know,
that's a good place to start.
Here's another thing, Mike.
Yeah.
When Social Security was passed in the 30s, no Republican voted for it.
Right.
When Medicare was passed in the 60s, no Republican voted for it.
I'm not surprised.
Now, how can any guy who works vote for a Republican? How stupid can you be?
I don't get that, Joe, I never have. I don't get it. Joe, I got to leave it there.
Take care,
all right?
Man.
You okay? Thanks.
I'm fine.
I appreciate
I'm
it. Great. All right. Take care, Joe. We got a break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. It is tonight, right? It still is Nova M Radio. Is it? Yeah, it's still Nova M. Welcome back, Truth Seekers. The Malloy Program. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. So, that was a quick ending. Now, before we get back to your calls, another U.S. missile strike kills 26 more people in Pakistan. This is dated today. Reuters News Agency. A suspected U.S. missile strike killed at least 26 people, many of them Taliban militants. They always are, aren't they? In Pakistan's Kurram tribal region on the Afghan border on Monday. The missiles, believed to have been fired by a pilotless drone aircraft, hit a school that was once used by Afghan refugee children before militants moved in around 2 years ago, according to villagers. One intelligence official in the area said, quote, Afghan Taliban were holding an important meeting there when the missiles were fired, end quote. Okay. If you say so, the intelligence official, I don't know if it's American, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Korean, Slavovian, Chinese, but this guy says, or woman says, quote, they have taken 9 bodies to Afghanistan while the rest of them are being buried here, end quote. Well, this was the 4th attack since Obama took office last month, showing there was no change in policy since the last year of the Bush administration when drone attacks against militant targets on Pakistani soil multiplied. A senior U.S. lawmaker, Dianne Feinstein, of California, kicked off a fresh controversy when she told a Senate hearing last week that drones were being operated and flown from an airbase inside Pakistan. However, Pakistan foreign minister denied this. He said, quote, Pakistan has not allowed these drone attacks. There was no permission before, nor is there any now, end quote. He went on to say, this is happening without any understanding, and it is affecting our sovereignty, and we think that it is causing collateral damage, end quote. Okay, well, you know, things are just descending into, you know, it's like a cat's cradle, and everything is descending into madness. Just hold on to your ass, okay? Just get a firm, tight hold on your ass and anybody else's that would be in the immediate vicinity. Just hold on. Because Truth Seekers is going to be one rock and roll experience. Would that it wasn't, but it is. Now, I want to share this with you. This is from Think Progress. Pentagon officials censor a letter to Obama detailing Gitmo detainees' rendition and torture. That's the headline. Lawyers, Jesus, God, lawyers for Binyam Mohammed, an Egyptian-born British resident and current Guantanamo Bay detainee, have been engaged, lawyers have been engaged in a long-running legal battle to prove his innocence and win his release. Last week, the British High Court ruled against releasing documents describing torture techniques used against Mohammed while in U.S. custody, reportedly because the documents also prove British collaboration in his torture. 2 days ago, Clive Stafford Smith, one of Mohammed's lawyers, wrote a letter to President Obama in an appeal to make the documents public and to inform him. Smith, the lawyer, wanted to inform Obama of his client's case. However, the letter was sent back with the entire section detailing Mohammed's torture redacted, Smith told the UK's Channel 4 News. This is what he said, quote, this is Clive Smith, the lawyer. The world has gone totally mad. We're trying to get the information to the President of the United States so he can assess whether this torture material should be made public. The censors in Washington, the military censors, won't let their own commander-in-chief see it. It's bizarre. End quote. The Guardian of the UK notes, going back to the thinkprogress.org article, the Guardian of the UK notes a possible motive behind the move. Quote, It is understood U.S. defense officials might have censored the evidence to protect the president from criminal liability or political embarrassment, end quote. Indeed, the documents reportedly contain, quote, details of how Mr. Muhammad's genitals were sliced with a scalpel and other torture methods so extreme that waterboarding, the controversial technique of simulated drowning, is very far down the list of things they did, one British intelligence official said. Yesterday, the Obama administration agreed to let British officials visit Muhammad, who has been described as, quote, just skin and bones, end quote, after a long hunger strike at Gitmo. And the British officials are going to visit Muhammad to, quote, prepare him for his return, end quote. British Foreign Secretary David Miliband said, quote, we are working as fast and as hard as we can to secure Mr. Muhammad's release from Guantanamo and return to the UK. We want him to be released as soon as possible, end quote. And then is the hold your horses update. Ken Guide, the associate director of the CAP, what is CAP? CAP. What is CAP? I don't even know what it is. Anyway, this guy, Ken Guide, is CAP's Associate Director of International Rights and Responsibility, has a separate response to the Smith story. This is what this guy says. The last 8 years have justifiably conditioned us towards outrage, but we really need to calm down, take a deep breath, and think a little more critically about what is going on here. Clive Smith, that's the lawyer for Muhammad, is a fantastic advocate on behalf of Guantanamo detainees that have suffered 3 years of tragedy, but his allegations in this instance are simply incorrect. Whatever the motivation of the Department of Defense official that blacked out the material attached to Clive's letter, it was certainly not to prevent President Obama from seeing it. In order for that to be true, we would have to construct a scenario in which a presidential aide brings to Obama this letter, asking that specific information be declassified. But when Obama asked what information, he was handed two completely blacked out pages, and that's the end of the story. Seriously, does that sound plausible? And Ken Guide goes on to say the important revelation in this case, in the last 24 hours, is that it now looks very likely that the Obama administration intends to release Binyam Mohammed from Guantanamo and return him to the UK, even though it is moving for his release. Many are very upset with the Obama administration for continuing to assert the state secrets privilege in Mohammed's civil cases in the United States and the United Kingdom. But again, Ken Guide writes, we need to pause and ask ourselves why they are doing this. The Obama administration has absolutely no interest in, quote, covering up, end quote, the torture and abuse associated with the Bush administration's policies. In fact, it has already shut down the extraordinary rendition program and rejected its disgraceful interrogation practices. And in any event, there's little or nothing to cover up because we already know so much about the treatment Muhammad received. There has to be something else going on. And because those officials in the Obama administration making these decisions were fierce critics of the Bush administration and the early actions of Obama and his team on Guantanamo torture and extraordinary rendition, they deserve the benefit of the doubt as they work through the mess they have inherited at Guantanamo. And Bob, who sent me this, goes on. So, we calm down, take deep breaths, but the question still won't go away. We're supposed to take Mr. Goode's word that, quote, there has to be something else going on, end quote. And then there's a little bit more to this. I'll share it with you when we come back. Jesus, God. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Oh, yeah.
This is Laura Pigglesbush. When Georgie falls asleep, I creep into the Oval Office, sneak a ciggy, and turn on Mike Malloy.
No.
Then I reprogram Georgie's speed dial.
No.
The simple pleasures.
No. Let's get rid of that. Because if she goes to the Oval Office now, they'll arrest her. Can you hit delete on that one? Thank you. All right. Cy is calling from Seattle, listening on KPTK. Hey, Cy.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Quite well. Look, I've been listening ever since Obama got elected to a lot of, you know, this show and a lot of shows. I'm a conservative Democrat. I voted for Obama. Love him to death. I voted for Reagan twice. I voted for Clinton twice. Couldn't vote for Bush at all. Couldn't stand a man from day one. Mm-hmm. So I just couldn't trust the man. He just gave me this sleazy feeling. But I'm really impressed with Obama, and I hope the man moves with such wisdom. I really like that. I know that I don't like the far right. I don't like the far left. I like it right in the middle. I like my legislators, and especially my judges, very liberal. And when they create programs, I like them to take the time and make sure that they are something that will work.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as Barack is concerned, and the way he has dealt with the Republican Party is outstanding. It's truly wisdom. And I say that because it is the people, not the far left, not the far right or whatever. It is the people who elect these people into office. And when they elect them into office, it is his job and duty and obligation to hear what they have to say and sit at the table. Now, the far left is screaming, hey, let's just steamroll them. But guess who elected Barack? Republicans elected Barack. Democrats elected Barack. We don't need to alienate anybody. Do your job and let the people deal with the elected officials. That's
all right. In theory, Cy, what you're saying makes a lot of sense. But here's what you're leaving out. The elections have been stolen in so many instances. The voting machines have been reprogrammed. We don't know any longer how many people who are in office on the Republican side, because you never hear of this. Nobody ever files a complaint against Democrats for screwing with the voting machines. They're owned by Republicans. The programs are owned by Republicans, and it's only in Republican-dominated states where this comes up. So what you're leaving out is the people do not decide anymore. Now, let me finish. I'll listen to you. Mm-hmm. Let me finish. The people make what appears to be a decision, but it is not the decision of the people. If it were, Barack Obama probably would have gotten about 65% of the vote instead of the 54% that he got. A. B. There is no far left in this country. What to you is far left?
Let me tell you something.
No, I don't listen to people who start out. Now, hold on. I swear to God, I'll hang up on you. I don't listen to people that start out by saying, let me tell you something. That's not what I asked you. Identify this far left.
I surely will.
Go ahead.
As a Democrat, I came home from the military.
No, wait. I don't want the story that goes with it.
No, okay.
All right. No, I asked you to identify the far left. Can you do it? Yes or no? Okay. He's gone. Don't start talking to me with, let me tell you something. That's A. B, this always happens. Somebody talks about, they throw a phrase out, like the far left. Okay. Fine. Let's stop the conversation so that I can get a handle on the definitions. In this instance, what's the far left? Dennis Kucinich? What are you talking about? The far left in this country has been butchered. It does not exist anymore. And that was the point I was trying to make. I was trying to let you make, Cy. But you wouldn't do it. Because you know, too, there is no far left in this country. What is far left in your mind is a normal liberal, the center. in our political system has been dragged so far to the center, has been dragged so far to the right. It's been dragged so far to the right. Let me just calm down a little bit. The political center in this country doesn't exist any longer either. Here's what we have. We have the hard right, the evangelical, crazy, neo-fascist, corporatist right. Those are the people who want to destroy Social Security, destroy Medicaid, destroy the union movement, destroy U.S. foreign policy, destroy environmental stuff. That is fascism. That is corporatism. Over where you would call it the far left side are normal, reasonable liberals who pretty much just want to stay with what FDR put out there 80 years ago that worked just fine. So anytime you think you can identify the far left to me, call me back.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour, finishing up the thing from Think Progress and LA Times and wherever else Bob sent this from. Like you said, so, okay, we calm down, we take deep breaths, but the question still won't go away. We're supposed to take Mr. Goo's word that there has to be something else going on. That's in reference to letters sent to Barack Obama outlining the torture against his lawyer's client in Guantanamo, those letters being redacted so the president can't read them. So Bob says, okay, let's calm down, take deep breaths. Here's something else we know that's still going on. And that is this. According to the LA Times, Obama preserves renditions as counterterrorism tool. The role of the CIA's controversial prisoner transfer program may expand, intelligence experts say. And Bob writes, Good may derisively ask if we believe the attorney representing the Guantanamo guy's allegations are plausible, but we've just endured 8 years of the Bush regime, a story that would seem implausible to anyone hearing it in 1999. So until Obama unwinds the criminal acts of the Bush regime, we can give him the benefit of the doubt, as well as watch very carefully what the Obama administration is doing or not doing. It's getting hard to tell things, reality things from vaporous pretend things, right? And as Prairie 2 writes, regarding the Dianne Feinstein story the other day about we are launching drone aircraft and therefore missile attacks from a base inside Pakistan, you know, on its surface, that sounds pretty impossible. It really does. Prairie 2 writes, there's no way that the U.S. would locate a drone control facility in an unstable place like Pakistan. And there's no reason to do it anyway. The drones are controlled by signals from satellites. And if time delay was a problem, they could run. They could be run from U.S. Navy ships or U.S. Air Force command planes. Whoever fed Feinstein this story has an agenda. I thought a lot of them were programmed and directed out of an Air Force base in Texas. I thought. Well, it is just getting crazier and crazier, isn't it? Huh? I think the Republican battle plan is to be obstructionist, to not help, not ever, not the Obama administration, not the Clinton administration, not the Carter administration, not the plans were pretty much laid out that Republicans were going to force the country into a corporatist method of government. Corporatist being another word for fascist. And that it's not going to stop until either they succeed or they are eliminated. It's like any revolution, and I hate to crap on the word revolution by assigning it to these Republican operatives, but that's essentially what it is. It's a revolution against, a revolt against the democratic system of self-governance and the democratic system of small d, democratic system of trying to run the country. The framers said, or Franklin said, here's your republic. See if you can keep it. And the Republicans, an absolute lie to their name, regarding their name, are doing everything in their power to destroy it. Everything. And they won't stop until it is destroyed or they are. Pretty simple. Back to your phone calls. David is calling from Minnesota. David, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, brother?
I'm all right. How are you?
All right. I just wanted to mention something about the gentleman who mentioned far left earlier.
Yeah.
I wish I could actually have a good talk with that guy, because I had a talk with a couple guys the other night about this so-called far left. See, when you talk about far going in any political spectrum, it usually leads to irrational. And liberals, by definition, are far more rational. Far right,
yeah,
is the gentleman you hate, Rush Limbaugh. I can't stand him either.
Mm-hmm.
Far right is Mark Levin. You don't talk about him that much, but
no,
thank God you don't, because that guy's horrible.
Right.
In fact, far left, liberals actually tend to concede and actually defer to conservatives more than anything else. In fact, you know who Michael Parenti is?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Parenti says he gets
yes.
sick and tired of seeing liberals always apologize to conservatives, be so apologetic, you know, I'm sorry to have to say this. That doesn't seem like far left to me. Far left does not exist.
No, that's
liberals
right.
are
right.
centrist by nature.
That's right. That's the point I was trying to make to my hapless caller.
Exactly.
I'd like to have someone anywhere in America identify the far left.
You know, they can't do it.
No, they can't, because a lot of these people, the far left, mm-hmm. Is people like Michael Moore.
Al Sharpton. Yeah, exactly.
Dennis
Parenti. Tim Weiss, my idol, Tim Weiss.
Yeah. It's insane. And the reason for it is, A, Republicans, centrists, conservatives, whatever you want to call them,
right.
are wacko to begin with. They don't have a political sense. And B, these are the post-Reagan people who really do believe that government is hurts people rather than helps them. If it weren't, so many people would go down in flames, including a hell of a lot of children. My suggestion would be just tell these Republican members of Congress who voted no, which is all of them, to go home empty-handed.
Mike, can I add something real quick? I hate to cut you off.
Yeah, go ahead.
But Michael Parenti said something really good about that. He said Republicans always say government doesn't work. Yeah, of course, when the people who are put in place are reactionaries who have no intention to see it work.
Amen.
Exactly. It's just like me saying, hey, man, I don't know how to cook a hamburger, and then leaving it on the stove too long until it burns and saying, Pepsi, told you I couldn't do it.
Right,
that's really all it is.
Right.
And, you know, Tim Weiss says it best. Look, do the left not criticize the left? The left criticizes the left all the time. Parenti does it. Tim Weiss said he left the Democrat Party 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
because they told him he was a liability trying to do all this race relations talk.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the far right. The only thing about the far right is they don't believe there's such thing as a moderate conservative.
That's right.
You know, to Rush Limbaugh, if you're a moderate conservative, you might as well be a liberal.
Yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as rationale in their thinking. Mark Levin, I don't know how this guy got on the radio. Okay, I'd rather listen to Nails on a Chalkboard. But people take this guy seriously.
Right,
he says, I have a phone line for liberals and I have a phone line for real Americans like me. That to me is not very rational.
No, it isn't.
Have you ever heard a liberal say you're un-American unless it was warranted?
Right.
Have you ever heard that?
No.
Never.
No, of course not.
Exactly. And this... and Tim Weiss talks about libertarianism. Libertarians, I can't stand them. I understand why you can't stand them either.
Right.
I don't want to take up too much of your time here, but there was a gentleman you had in July. You might remember him, Dave the Banker.
Yeah. I remember
okay.
Dave.
Those are the kind of people that me and Tim Weiss can't stand. This idea of I'm a libertarian, therefore I have my entire future in my hands, and everything I do has to do with my own hard work. Oh, sure, because, you know, the recommendation you got for the job didn't matter.
Right.
You know, things like that. You really have total control.
Yeah.
And that alludes to what you said earlier. Since when, what are you going to do, vote? You think voting really, you know, means any type of control?
Mm-hmm.
It's linked to any type of control.
Mm-hmm.
That's far right for you right there. There's no rationality. And, you know, I'm a young guy. I'm 24 years old. I'm a person of color. And one thing I've realized, I wanted to defer my, you know, forget hope cynicism. But you're right. There's no rationality in conservatives. You cannot talk with these people. You cannot.
All right. Well, David, you're very eloquent, and I appreciate what you had to say. All right.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Mike. I love your show.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Oh, yeah. Ben is calling from Elgin, our technical advisor. Ben, what are you doing up this late?
Oh, you know, I work 16-hour days, so I'm always up this late.
Yeah, okay. What's up?
Well, a little bit more to the story about them trying to take money from you as you drive. There's some technology they developed and they've deployed in Denver on the toll roads.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time we've had these little transponders you put on your windshield and,
right.
You know, it charges your account when you drive on the tollway.
Yeah, so you don't have to stop and pay a toll, right?
Well, now they've got a technology out in Denver. They're deploying on one of the toll roads where if you don't have a transponder, the camera shoots your driver's, your license plate.
Mm-hmm.
And they send you a bill.
Right.
And they're, in fact, able to now take out the manual toll booths because they're not interested in actually employing people to take change anymore.
Yeah, why do that?
And the fear is that now that this technology has been proven out and works, that every little municipality that has a revenue problem
mm-hmm.
is going to think, huh, I can make that road through the middle of town a toll road. And you know what? They can.
They can. Right. Well, one of the things they're doing in Atlanta, and I'm sure this may or may not be linked to what you're saying, and I'm sure other cities are doing it, there are a bunch of intersections now that have cameras, and these are intersections where people usually, they're so-called high-speed intersections, even though they're within the city. And the idea is, if you are caught in that big X in the middle of the intersection with the light that you're following red, it takes your picture and you get a ticket, in the mail that takes a picture of your license plate and a picture of the driver and
yep.
you get it in the mail and you've got like 24 hours to pay it.
Yeah, they do. They're doing that in Chicago too. Apparently it's become a big revenue source.
Oh, yeah. Well, these are tough times. The Republicans destroyed the country, so the rest of us have to pay for it. Hey, Ben, there's the music. Thanks, man.
Take care. Bye.
All right, Ben. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm
9 before the hour. Thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, who engineered the program, answered your calls, Ben Birch, our technical advisor, Sharon Gordy, military affairs correspondent, Bruce Enberg, economic advisor, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, our ethical advisor, executive producer, Catherine Bay. The other email here from Michael, in Roswell, New Mexico, regarding the Predator drone control. He writes, that control is primarily through Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada. I suspect the CIA has their own control facilities, which, yeah, that's pretty much the consensus. He goes on, that said, Predators are just large enough to require a short runway for takeoff and landing. In many instances, takeoffs and landings are handled by local pilots on the ground, with control transferred to a central facility when the drone is at safe altitude. So it's entirely possible for drone operations to occur within Pakistan, although given the geopolitics involved, it would be nearly insane to expect the Pakistan government to be complicit in doing so. Mike in the desert in Roswell, New Mexico. Oh, man. I don't know. It is incredible. It is incredible. You know, just trying to find our way through the thicket, right? Okay, let's go back to your phones. Brandon is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm okay. How are you?
Well, I got to tell you something. I don't understand how anybody can be a Republican in this country in this day and age. I don't understand it. I have to work with these people. And in Madison, it's kind of weird because it's, you know, pretty liberal town. Mm-hmm. And, well, I'm not from Madison. I got to drive an hour every day to work just to be able to find a job that I can pay my mortgage and all this and that, you know, the same old story that everybody else has.
Right, right.
But I tell you, man, these people, they have completely forgotten what we have been through in these last 8 years. It is like those 8 years haven't existed. They come up with every little thing to attack Obama, any Democrat, anybody that has any realistic point of view. And I can't understand why they want to drive this wedge so deep that they don't want to even try to reconcile anything.
Well,
it's
my
like, these are regular people.
Yeah, my quick answer would be, you know, they hate the country, they hate our system of government, but let's move beyond that. I don't think they saw the 8 years under Bush as being, you know, like living in the mental ward for the criminally insane. I think what they saw, or what they thought they saw, was what Limbaugh and the right-wing echo chamber in talk radio told them to see. It was Bill Clinton's recession, and all George Bush did was protect the country, and now it's Barack Obama's recession. It's not that they don't see it, or they don't. It's because their brains have been sucked out. What Limbaugh does is the radio talk show host equivalent of sticking straws up people's noses, right wingers, sucking out all their brain material and then filling it with the vacuum that's necessary so that Limbaugh can then inject whatever he wants. I mean, when I listen, and occasionally I do now, to some of the people who call Limbaugh's program, I don't know. The cute thing to say would be I just want to puke, but that's not what I feel. What I think is I'm living in a country that has completely, completely come unmoored from any kind of reality at all.
Right.
And I'm talking about the electorate. Yeah, Barack Obama won. He would have won by a much bigger margin had the machines not been skewed as they have been probably for the past 7 or 8 elections. But the Democrats are so used to being battered into the ground in Congress that they don't tell the Republicans to sit down and shut up. And Obama is trying to make this grand effort of being the great reconciler, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So, I hear what you're saying, Brandon, and we're just about out of time. I got to leave it there. But listen, take care and stay in touch, okay?
All right, Mike, and I got to tell you something. You're absolutely amazing, and I think you're also a little too easy on the issues, if I may say so.
Well,
I think I when you get going, that's the best, and I think you need to even turn it up a few more notches.
All right, thanks, Brandon.
All right, take care.
All right, appreciate you checking in. If I turned it up any higher, I would, you know, wind up in a CCU. All right, listen, thanks for hanging out with me tomorrow tonight. We'll be back tomorrow and the next night and the next night and the next night and the next night. Don't worry about it. I'm Mike Malloy. This is what network is this?
Just say the Mike Malloy Show.
This is the Mike Malloy Show. See you tomorrow night. Oh, keep it lit.